Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to talk with you today, and once again, we're one day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and he will rule this planet from Jerusalem, Israel. And that's why today, if you read the news or you watch in television and the news, you're reading about Israel, and God is getting his attention, getting your attention to that country and to that city, because that's going to be the capital of the world. And we're so glad that you're with us. We have a program, and if you're tuning in, we're talking to folks from almost every major country in the world. We know it because we get the hits on the internet from thousands of them that we've gotten. And so we thank the Lord, and I believe that the Lord has given us this program to honor and glorify his word. Now, I have with me today Brother Clark Block. And he's sitting across from me, and he's looking good today. And then we have Brother Al Davis, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And so we have an interesting program today. Now, this program is about, we call it Equal Time, because today there's many Bible correctors, many people attacking the Authorized King James Bible. And this program, we believe that God has given us the King James Bible. It came from heaven, and we give many reasons why, and why we believe that this is also so. But one book that we want to mention, and we want to talk about books that promote the preserved Word of God found in the King James Bible, and I read books by all sides on this issue of biblical authority, and yet when I read this book, I would just say that you're reading what God says. Although a human author wrote this, she is actually quoting Scripture all the way through, and so it's a master. It is absolutely a masterpiece. I would recommend that every preacher by this. Let's say you don't believe anything we're saying. You don't believe God preserved his word in the King James. Well, why don't you read this book and you can get your ammunition against it and try to find out what's wrong with it. But it, as far as I'm concerned, it is absolutely a masterpiece. And it's nearly 1,000 pages of tremendous information. Every time I read this stuff, it just amazes me. And I'm comparing it with so many of the other books that I've read on biblical authority. It's called Hazardous Materials, Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers, Voice of Strangers. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And generation after generation, the King James Bible comes back, and people just continue, the majority of people that read the Bible every day read the King James by a large margin. And it goes on generation after generation, which shows it's the Word of God. But it says, Jesus says that his sheep will not hear a voice of a stranger. They know not the voice of strangers. So the other translations that are counterfeit Bibles, they just disappear. They last for a few years, and then they go out, and then they put out another one. And we have said that the NIV, one of the latest ones, and through millions of dollars of advertising, it's sold about 220,000 copies. However, the King James Bible, as we've mentioned before, has put out 5 billion copies. And it is the voice of God to us today, and that's what we talk about in this program. Now, how do we know that the Bible, we talk about the Bible in general, and the King James in particular, as the preserved Word of God. But how do we know? Well, I'm going to give some scripture verses once again, and every week we talk about this. But it states here, and I saw an angel in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 1, come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, if it says 1,000 years, why don't you believe it's 1,000 years? You take the Bible for the plain sense. And the first thing that the Bible shows us about the devil is that he questions the word of God. He says, yea, hath God said. And then we see that our great-grandmother Eve, she revises God's word. She makes a revision and then follows death and hell and suffering and war and sorrow. And so we have had God's word right from the beginning of time, and we have it today in the Authorized King James Bible. And it follows the text that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles and from the Old Testament Masoretic text. And that's why we believe it. But here is some prophecies dealing with the word of God. Now, Satan's job primarily is not in the bar, but is in religion. And his main thrust is to correct and question God's word. And he has a great army of people that do that today in our time. And that's why God has raised up this program we're on. That's why we're on all over the world. And we have thousands of people listening. And it says, the devil, and they bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should receive the nations no more, deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now we're reading Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now that's where we're at right now. He says he saw the souls in heaven, see? And it says here that were beheaded. What is happening? This prophecy stated 2,000 years ago is being fulfilled in our time as many other prophecies are. What is happening right now? They are taking the heads off Christians right now for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And that tells me right off the bat that people today around the world have the word of God. And because they have the word of God, and it's not just translations, it's not just corrupt manuscripts, it's not just the originals, which nobody has. They have the word of God today, and they have it in different languages. And we have it today in the English, in the King James Bible. And the other ones come and go. This one continues on. And people are having their heads cut off right now. And probably people that are listening to this program know of people that have had their heads cut off for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. That is an evidence written 2,000 years ago, and it is true today. And God says that these people that have this happen, it says, and they had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, it says that they didn't worship the beast. Now, the beast is referring to a world government that is being set up right now. And the Bible talks about it in Psalms 2 and says, that why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The heathen or the Gentiles, the people, and together they're in rebellion against God Almighty and against his son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and they're in that rebellion and they're setting up a world dictatorship. And it's mentioned in Psalm 2. But it says God is laughing at them. Why is he laughing? Because Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God, it says, in the Bible, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is running the sun, moon, and stars, and he runs them within a fraction of a second, and they tell time by that in Greenwich, England. Jesus has all power. I think that in Russia, why they had control of the news media, they had control of television, they had control of radio, and they had control of the schools. And people that would, parents would tell their children about Jesus would get sent to Siberia, and they had total control of that country to wipe out the knowledge of God. And yet suddenly, and this is when Jesus said so, the communist government of Russia fell, And the Yeltsin who led the revolt came on radio and television in front of the news media and said, "This Christmas, we will celebrate the birth of the Savior." And this has happened over and over again around the world with different governments. You are not going to get rid of Jesus. If you think you are, you might as well go out there and try to get rid of the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon. You might have a better chance of getting rid of God and Jesus. Some people say, well, right now they say, boy, the Muslims might win or something. Well, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Jesus Christ is going to rule from Jerusalem, Israel. And our attitude as Christians is we can be laughing at them with God. God's laughing at his enemies. And you know what he says after he laughs? He says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's why today in some circles, Zionism is a cuss word. And the reason it's so hated is because Jesus Christ is going to rule this planet from Mount Zion, and Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion. And so that's what's behind that type of thinking. And it says they lived in these people that had their head cut off, they refused to worship the beast nor his image. Now, the image, they're going to set up an image that represents this world government belonging to the beast. And it will be an image of the counterfeit Mary. Mary was a godly woman. She was a godly woman, and she bore the Lord Jesus Christ. But when somebody came to Jesus and said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked," Jesus said, "Yea, rather, hear the word of God. Blessed is he that heareth the word of God and doeth it." And the idea of the worship of Mary, and believe me, no matter what they say, they are worshiping her. And these apparitions have appeared, and now there are many Muslims that are beginning to worship her also. That's why the Lebanese government had a special day to honor Mary. And the Muslims and the Catholics came, and they were killing each other. And this image is mentioned in Ephesus, and it says the people in Ephesus, they had stopped buying their images, and so there is a big riot against Paul, and they went to the Colosseum in Ephesus, and the mayor comes out, and he says, "We better not do anything here. We better stop this because the Romans are going to be angry with us, and we're going to have to give an account to them." But then he says the whole world worships Diana of the Ephesians. Well, this Diana was worshipped in different countries, worshipped as Isis in Egypt, worshipped as Ashtaroth in Lebanon. And there is a worldwide worship of the mother and son, but the mother is called the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah chapter 40, and the son is called Baal, which means the Lord. So they were worshipping Baal and Ashtaroth in the Old Testament. And at the Council of Ephesus in 431, in the very same city where they were worshiping Diana of the Ephesians, that's another name for the Queen of Heaven, in that city at the Council of Ephesus, they called Mary the Mother of God. And they were worshiping this image. And so this worship was established. And people say, to Jesus through Mary. No, directly to Jesus. And Jesus at the wedding of Canaan, they went to Mary, and then Mary went to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And then she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You don't go to Jesus through Mary. You go to Jesus directly, because you won't get anything. And so they have a worldwide image that will unite this religion of this Queen of Heaven that the world will be worshiping at that time. So this is all beginning to happen or happening right now in front of our eyes. That's how we know the Bible is the Word of God, because God tells the future. He knows the future just like he knows the past. And it says, neither received his mark upon their foreheads and their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so the people that had their heads cut off, they're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years on this earth, because Jesus is coming back and he is going to rule from Jerusalem, Israel, on Mount Zion. And it says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son. God has a son according to the whole Bible. And I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And that refers to a day and time when Jesus takes on a human body. God said, a body hast thou made me. And then it goes on and it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. In other words, you reject Jesus, you have no hope of heaven. And you will stand before God with your sins on your soul. And you will answer, God's keeping record of every thought, word, and deed. The Bible says this. And you'll stand before him. But if you have received Jesus 2,000 years ago, and behind that Arab bus station near Saladin Street, outside the Damascus Gate, on that Muslim cemetery there, Jesus Christ, who is God in a human body, was punished for every sin you ever committed. And the Bible says that when he died, he said before he died, he was going to rise the third day. And he died physically and bodily, and many, many people saw him die. And then on the third day, he came out of the tomb just like he predicted he would. Over 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead, and he appeared to them over and over again. And then he gave his words, and he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. By the power of Almighty God, he said he would keep these words. And we have a direct line. They were translated. People had the gift of tongues, and they were translated into the italic text, which is the received text that the King James is based on. They were found in the Koine Greek text. They were found in the Aramaic, Syriac, Peshitta text. And these translations, and they were found in the Gothic, the beginning of the English language text. Many of the words in the King James Bible were translated way back right after the apostles. The very words that we have here were translated then. And they were in all these languages. In the King James Bibles, they were the best group of translators. 47 translators went over every word 16 times. Here's some person gets on the radio or television, should have been, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is. They are liars. And they're saying we don't have the word of God today, and they're Nicolaitans. And God says he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitan means to conquer the people. And they're saying, you don't have the Bible today. Well, we have it today in the authorized King James Bible. Now, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so those people that have their head cut off, and they're having their head cut off right now, right as we're speaking, for Jesus Christ and his word, which we have today, they're going to rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. And praise the Lord, Jesus came into this world a couple thousand years ago, and we're celebrating that at Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas, and Brother Al's going to give a report on it. But what is Christmas? Well, Christmas was when God took on a human body, and it was 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate Christmas comes from that time that we celebrate that. Now, we can celebrate any day we want to, and we can praise God any day we want. We can thank him any day we want. And if I want to do it on the 25th, thank God I can do it on the 25th because Jesus is alive and well. And that's the great thing. He's the living king today, and he's coming back. It says, God says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Well, Brother Al, I know you have something to say. We'll give it to you now.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, I remind you that you can find Bruce's programs and more about Bruce in the program at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. I know we just have a few minutes, so I'll kind of make this quick. In Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called, shall call his name Emmanuel." And that, of course, is a prophecy of the virgin birth of Christ. People say, why is that important? Well, it's important because in Romans chapter 5, and here in verse number 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We inherit our sin nature from our fathers, and it goes all the way back to Adam. That's the one man whereby sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And it's really kind of interesting because what allows the human blood to develop in that newly conceived unborn child, it comes from the father, not from the mother. The blood of the mother never enters into that newborn child. And growing up, we had chickens, and we always had eggs. And if anybody's ever raised chickens, you know, if you have a rooster, sometimes there's a surprise in the egg when you crack it open in the frying pan, because fertile eggs have a little red clot sort of forming on the side. And that'll happen within just literally within hours. It'll be large enough to be visible when you open that egg up, when that rooster has gotten together with that hen. And so that is necessary for that to develop. An unfertile egg will never develop that little blood clot. And that's because of the rooster. So it's the sperm uniting with the egg of the female. And that's what happens in human beings. So if Jesus had a human father, he would have had blood that come as a result of his human father, and he would have inherited the sin nature. And so the virgin birth was necessary because Jesus Christ was born without sin. I was talking with a lady one time who was with the Legion of Mary, and some people have heard about the Legion of Mary on occasion, and the woman said that Mary had to be sinless. We were talking about Mary earlier, in order for Jesus to be born sinless. I said, no. Only thing is that there had to be no earthly father. It had to have a heavenly father, which is what the Bible said. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was with child of the Holy Spirit. And so because of that, there's no sin nature to inherit. And she said, oh, no, a sinless person cannot give birth to a sinful person cannot give birth to a sinless person. Therefore, Mary had to be without sin. I said, well, then how could Mary have been born without sin? Because she was born to a sinless or a sinful mother. And she said, well, some of us believe that Mary's mother was without sin as well. I said, well, how far back are you going to go with this? Because Mary's a descendant of Eve, and we know clearly from Genesis chapter 3 that Eve is not without sin, is she? So therefore, it all comes back to, it's not that Mary was conceived without sin, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, but it's that Jesus Christ was conceived without sin, as the Bible teaches. And the chemistry of the blood, there's a great article on the chemistry of the blood by Dr. M.R. DeHaan, who's with the Lord now, but you can Google chemistry of the blood, and it'll give you that with Martin DeHaan. Don't have time to go into that today, but he was a medical doctor, and he clearly shows how the blood comes from God himself. It's divine blood that was in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's why the miracle of the virgin birth is so important, and it's so necessary. So hope that encourages people in their celebration of Christmas this week.
Well, God bless you, and I hope that you have a good Christmas. And remember, God has come into this world, and Jesus wants to come into your life and give you joy and peace because of what he did on the cross. When he died, he paid for all of our sins. He said, "It is finished," and we can be as sure of heaven as if we've been there a million years. So let's remember that this Christmas, God came into the world to die, to rise from the dead. And so Merry Christmas to you, and a Happy New Year with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read about it in his perfect word, the King James Bible.
And just a reminder, we'll not be here next week, but the following week on the 5th of January, we'll be back. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.